Vasu Menon joins us, Executive Director, Investment Strategy at OCBC Bank Wealth Management. Vasu, last week we had Mike Wilson over at Morgan Stanley talk about how maybe, in the spring, the bear market would be over. We had Marko Kalanovic saying that the Fed's aggressive rate hiking cycle will end in the spring of early next year. We've seen equities pop about 8 to 10% in the past month. It's starting to look more like investors are willing to bet that we're kind of getting towards the end of all of this. Do you think they're right?
Well, you know, the jury's out. Our view is that the Fed is going to hike 75 basis points this week. They'll do another 75 basis points in December before they probably step down towards 50 or 25 basis points early next year. So, you know, there isn't a very strong case for the Fed to really step down or dial down just yet. The core inflation numbers that you got last week from the PCE indicator shows that, you know, inflation remains elevated at 5.1%, a pickup from the previous month of 4.9%. So, you know, there isn't a strong case for the Fed. But having said that, the Fed has already hiked rates on four occasions by 75 basis points. That's a lot. That's rather unprecedented in U.S. history. And it's possible that, you know, down the road, the Fed would also get nervous and say, look, I mean, we could, you know, tip the balance and send the economy into a recession. So let's just pause for a while or maybe dial down a little bit. But I don't think they're going to do it just yet. Perhaps 2023, I feel.
It's a difficult calculation, though, isn't it? I've seen one commentator refer to it as like driving using the rearview mirror because, of course, inflation is backward looking. So how can you know how much of the tightening we've seen so far has been reflected in inflation? Do you get a sense that we're going to be turning a corner soon?
Well, it doesn't seem that way because, you know, if you look at the inflation numbers, the Fed has already hiked rates by, you know, 3.25% since the beginning of this year. And yet you see inflation being very sticky, very persistent. And I think that's quite frustrating for the Fed and perhaps to some extent frustrating for the market as well. And the U.S. labor market is very, very tight. I mean, unemployment rate is very low. Wages continue to grow. And the Fed is going to make its decision a couple of days before the U.S. employment report is out this Friday. So they're taking a bit of a risk. If the number turns out to be pretty strong, you know, then the Fed could miscalculate if it signals that it's going to pivot to a slower pace of rate hike. So
I think
Vasu, the Fed will be very data-driven.
We're always saying that equity investors are looking, you know, 6 to 9 months out. I mean, if you're looking really 9 months from now, you're getting well into the back half of next year. And that's a lot of time. And equities sold down, say, 25%. They're not down that much now because we had this recent rally. But isn't it maybe okay to start looking into the next year?
Absolutely. I mean, I'm not suggesting that investors should stay out of the markets altogether. In fact, what we are telling our clients is to stay invested, but to tread carefully. In other words, this is not the time to be aggressive, but it's important to stay invested because, as you said, the markets have corrected a lot.
And Vasu, we've spent a little bit of time talking about the broader macro picture, but I want to get your thoughts on where you're seeing opportunities right now. We are heading into a very busy week of earnings. And so far, what's your opinion of how well these companies have been dealing with the headwinds?
Well, you know, the results have been very mixed. I mean, there are some companies that have exceeded expectations, some which have fallen below expectations. But overall, the earnings season has, you know, been relatively positive. You've had more companies announcing results that have exceeded market expectations, and that's contributed to the rally on Wall Street that we saw in October. So, you know, so far earnings appear to be fairly resilient. So the million-dollar question is whether it will lose that resilience in the coming quarters. You know, analysts have got it wrong so far in terms of thinking that, you know, earnings are going to fall off the cliff. But let's see whether the high interest rates and the slow economy will hurt earnings. But for now, you're not seeing that happen just yet.
For the Federal Reserve, its mandate is very domestic, not really paid to look at the rest of the world. But you would think it's a big risk if the rest of the world is slowing. The U.S. is a smaller part of the global economy than it was back in the 70s when we had inflation so hot. It was probably more than a quarter of the global economy then, now less than a fifth. But they will have noticed that the Bank of Canada, you know, went a little less than expected and that the RBA did at the last meeting. How much do you think they're looking at these other central banks?
Well, they may be looking at other central banks, but I think, as you said, you know, they are more focused on the domestic issues right now. And right now in the U.S., inflation is still very high. The job market is still very tight. Wages continue to grow. So, yes, they've got an eye on what's happening elsewhere, I'm sure. But they are still very much focused on what's happening domestically. Don't forget, they got this wrong last year. They thought inflation was transitory. And so, you know, I mean, they've just hiked rates in the last 9 months and they haven't seen a lot of results. So don't see how they can pivot too aggressively at this juncture. But if what they do destabilizes the global markets and the US stock market or financial markets, then the Fed could take its foot off the pedal. But for now, you don't see that happen. In fact, the markets are rallying already in the month of October. And that, you know, gives the Fed a stronger case to continue hiking rates.
I want to get your thoughts on the situation in China at the moment as well. We're going to have Taishin PMIs a little bit later on. The official PMIs yesterday were somewhat disappointing. What's your growth outlook as China just remains absolutely committed to this COVID zero policy?
You're right. You know, essentially, the zero COVID policy is a major overhang. The property market is still very weak, and that's another drag on the economy as well. The government is forecasting was forecasting 5.5% growth for the economy this year, implicit forecast. But I don't think they're going to hit anywhere near that. And I think that the Communist Party and the government accepts the fact that that's not going to be achieved. They're very much focused on zero COVID. That doesn't appear like it's going to change anytime soon. And that's not the best piece of news for China as far as the economy is concerned. So I don't see how things are going to change dramatically unless you have zero COVID being lifted, and there are no indications that will happen, at least not this year. Maybe when they develop an mRNA vaccine next year, there'll be a bit more confidence.
Yeah, I mean, you mentioned the mRNA vaccine. Now, that's an example of how nationalism has affected policymaking in China. So I guess my broad question is, COVID's just one thing, but the policymakers will be there. And it seems that they're de-emphasizing the economy in favor of politics now. Is that a headwind for us?
It is a headwind. I mean, that's a perception that the market has about, you know, what the government is doing in China, very focused on national security and politics. But, you know, if you look at the constituents of the new Politburo in China, many of them are also pro-economy. I mean, they haven't shown their hands, so we've got to give them a chance. And once the dust settles, you know, the process is completed, I think, by, you know, the first quarter of next year, the process of appointing lower-level officials, projecting the economic plan for, you know, 2023. Those things will be completed in the coming months.
All right, Vasu Menon, we'll have to leave it there. Vasu Menon is Executive Director of Investment Strategy at OCBC Bank Wealth Management. Thanks so much for joining us.